Hello and welcome to the 8th episode of the XPRIZE Cars Podcast. I'm Eric Boyd, and today I bring you an interview I conducted with Greg Beloso of Beloso Motor Company, another Letter of Intent XPRIZE team. I conducted this interview on March 21st, 2008 at the New York Auto Show, and I talked with Mr. Beloso about his technology and his team and how he learned of the automotive XPRIZE. He has a very interesting technology that essentially creates a hybrid car without actually doing a hybridization. So he's got a type of engine that allows him to run just a couple of cylinders without running all of the rest of them. And it's more than cylinder deactivation. He's actually deactivating the pistons as well. It's a very interesting technology that he has a patent on. And he also has some lightweight technologies and other things that he hopes will help him get to over 100 miles per gallon so that he can compete both in the mainstream and the alternative class. He's going to build two cars. So without further ado, here's Greg Beloso. Well, I'm here with Greg Beloso of the Beloso Motor Company. It's another Automotive XPRIZE team. So tell me about yourself and your team.
My team is probably the only team that has a really new, different technology in a sense that it hasn't been published before. Mm-hmm. And it's built on a paradigm. We use two engines in one vehicle, scaled down, and we use one engine to cruise and two engines together to accelerate. Now, you know, the hybrids use a small engine to cruise economically. We also do the same. But to accelerate, climb, or carry heavier loads, they use an electric motor powered by a battery to give supplemental power. Well, we don't do that. We use another engine. That immediately brings out a whole lot of advantage. Engines can now be built so that they produce up to as much as 2 horsepower per pound of engine weight. And so therefore, we can have, say, a 50 horsepower cruiser engine and a 70 horsepower booster engine for 120 horsepower, weighing less than 250 pounds. Now, in the case of a hybrid, one of those engines will be already half of that, the cruiser engine, and the battery and electric motor tips the scales at up to 500 pounds. So we have a weight advantage. Secondly, the battery has a limited amount of power stored in it, so that if you have a long uphill climb, or if you accelerate much too often because it's a race, or it's any kind of prolonged heavy-duty power requirement, the battery might get exhausted, and then you have to kind of limp along on your small economical engine. Well, our car does not have that disadvantage, because we can always use the two engines whenever we need more power and use one engine, either engine in fact, to supply the power for cruising and other lightweight operations.
Cool.
Secondly, the batteries and the electric motors, there's a production limit and a cost limit. Ours are much less expensive, and the small engines are available all over the world. You can choose your size and your price, practically.
Right.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so you also have a different engine technology that involves sort of two engines in one. Could you describe that?
Yes. Actually, this is a takeoff on the cylinder deactivation system. For the past 30 years, we have known cylinder deactivation, and you know it most essentially like a V8 for acceleration. All 8 cylinders are fueled and powered, and so you get maximum power. But we know that the vehicle can cruise comfortably at 1/4 to even 1/5 the power produced by the V8. And if you fuel only half of the cylinders, then you save on the fuel that would have gone to the other 4 cylinders. So they deactivate one bank of cylinders, and theoretically it should save you half the fuel. But 30 years automotive experience have shown that depending upon the actual experience, this nets you less than 5% to at most less than 10% fuel savings. No less an authority on this than Mr. Shrimp, the chairman of Daimler Chrysler, has stated that so far it is good only for about 9% savings in fuel. What happened to the other 40%? Well, our engineers and our researchers feel, and we feel in Bilotomora Company, that, and I know everybody, a lot of people share this, that much of the power produced by the remaining functioning cylinders are actually being dissipated simply moving the pistons and other moving parts in the active cylinders back and forth because they are all connected to the same crankshafts.
Right.
So we decided, instead of closing off one bank, we divided the crankshaft into two parts. A front part for the auxiliary power and the rear part attached to the standard clutch and transmission for the cruiser engine. That's why in that presentation I have one engine with two parts, two crankshafts, but on the same axis, of course, like any other engine. We fuel all cylinders and make them run, and we give full power. When we deprive the front cylinders of fuel, ignition, whatever, it stops and the rear cylinder continues to go. Now, how do we do this? We put an automatic clutch mechanism between the two parts of the crankshaft. And there's a wonderful, very powerful and reliable clutch called the Sprague clutch. S-P-R-A-G. It's widely used in industry and in transportation. Helicopters and ships use it. One of the Sprague clutches can handle 560,000 foot-pounds of torque. So an engine usually uses about 600 foot-pounds of torque.
No problem.
No problem. And in fact, the Reynolds company that is manufacturing some of the best Sprague clutches I've seen are very interested in our technology. We put the Sprague clutch between the two engines, between the two crankshafts, and whenever the auxiliary engine catches up with the speed of the cruiser engine, they hook up automatically. If you slow down the auxiliary part, it unhooks automatically. And you can do that as often as you want. It will be driven by the same fuel accelerator, and you'll not know that you're using, in fact, two engines. And we can cast this in one engine block. And that's what you ask about.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking about. Yes, so do you intend to have a mainstream car?
We intend to have a mainstream car, and we intend to have also an alternative car.
So you're going to run two cars?
Yes, in fact, we're building both.
Okay, great.
Yes. It will be as lightweight as possible, and that's where the various members of my team come in with its own expertise. Did I tell you about my...
No, tell us about your team members.
Okay. I am the head of it, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm really a surgeon, you know. I trained here in New York, in Cancer Memorial. But I've always been interested in mechanics since I was a child. When my brother and I reconditioned pickup trucks and cars and sold as our hobby. Well, I am the inventor and I have 12 patents to my name and 6 more
pending.
And more than half of this involves the automotive dual power engine. In fact, last February, I received another, February 5th, I received another patent. And in this one, the cruiser engine is what we call hybridized. It is not just an engine itself, but it includes an auxiliary electric motor and a battery, preferably just the ordinary run-of-the-mill lead-acid battery. This way you can make it even more fuel efficient by recapturing power when you put the brakes on. This is a well-known technology, you know. Regenerative braking.
Yeah.
That, since it's only for cruising, you don't need as big and as powerful a battery. as big and as powerful an electric motor, but it adds to the fuel efficiency for cruising. Now, we still have the auxiliary engine, of course, to boost the power for acceleration, yes. The dual engine in a single block, I have that patent. I have, in fact, a transmission that can take two different engines in each port and combine the power to power a double engine
car.
And either one of those two engines could be hybridized. I have other iterations. I have other variations. That's why right now I have about five on this double engine granted patent. And on top of this, I have an exclusive patent on a protective system for frontal collision.
Wow, safety equipment.
Safety equipment. Actually, it is a system that doesn't cause crumpling of the front end of the car. It is through the use of shock absorbing means. The front bumper is supported by an inner shaft that goes the entire length of the car. In fact, two shafts that go the entire length of the car, and it is designed to be retractable for any length. Generally about 1.5 to 2 feet would probably be sufficient to reduce the G-forces of a frontal impact. These two members will then transfer the impact to the rear bumper, where it is also connected. And the rear bumper is connected to a spring-loaded mechanism with shock absorber, which is then attached to the chassis, so that when you have a frontal impact, the rear bumper will pull the chassis and the rest of the vehicle to a stop with a longer stopping distance, like 1.5 to 2 feet. This reduces the G-forces to less than about 6 Gs rather than 12 or 14 Gs.
Yeah, which should save lives.
It saves lives because there are data on this by, if you read the book of Dr. John Stott in the 1950s, who made extensive experiments on G-forces and their lethal effects, what we call space physiology and pathology. So this is one of our other patterns.
So you were going to talk about your team members who you're working with.
Okay. Aside from me, there's my brother. He is a mechanical engineer. He's been a mechanical engineer for the past 50 years. He has worked on many companies in the Philippines, mostly on heavy equipment, hydraulics, and their power plants. He is very articulate about sprag clutches, hydraulic clutches, and torque converters, and in general. And he is my general mechanical. He makes the prototype.
Yeah.
My other brother is with us. He is an AIA architect. He's practicing architect in Virginia. And he designs. He helps us with design and strength of materials and stuff like that.
Statics.
He takes care of that. And another member of my team is a person who's an expert in composite material. Very strong, lightweight plastics composites. He has built two lightweight airplanes designed by Bert Rotan. And he has flown them across this country. The last time I know, he counted it 3 times across this country.
Wow.
It's very lightweight composite structures. And we intend to use this very lightweight composite structure as a body for our car now. I have received last year a patent on how to make a composite body for a car in a modular way, and how to attach it to a chassis so that the attachment points between the plastic and the metal does not degrade.
Yeah, which is very difficult with the
That process. Has been the bugaboo of people trying to make plastic bodies. They use that in race cars, and after a few races, if not just one race, you can't use the body because the attachment points has already been eroded. Well, in my patent, there it doesn't do that because the entire points of contact extensively are protected by built-in bushings. And I had research, and nobody proposed that solution. So the U.S. Patent Office gave me last November a patent on that.
Wow.
So we're going to use that. So now we have a lightweight aircraft type body adapted to be extensively supported through bushings to a very lightweight chassis. It's made of aluminum, tubular structure. Mm-hmm.
Also lightweight.
So we think, and our engines are small and lightweight, so we think we can create a competitive model pretty close to 1,000 pounds. For 1,200
and
the
outside. For a mainstream class vehicle?
For both alternate and the mainstream.
Wow.
And if you can make it for less than 1,200 pounds, we know that if you multiply the miles per gallon by the weight of the car, you generally get to about 90 to 120. Figure it out. 120,000, 90 to 120,000. So, if you have a 1,000 pound car with a single engine, you're already out to 120 miles per gallon. With a smaller engine, with our technology, you increase it by 40%. If we get anywhere like 1,000 pounds, you are going to be 120 miles per gallon plus 40%. So we're going 160. We have room to maneuver there.
Which is good.
Hopefully.
You need that in order to go fast in the race.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We have to do that. So there you have it.
Okay, so let's move on and talk about the Automotive X Prize itself. How did you originally hear of the prize?
Well, I've always been following the news about this, and I followed the Bert Rutan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, I am especially interested in Bert Rutan because I contacted him 8-9 years ago when I had my first patent on a lightweight vertical takeoff airplane based on the Kwanda effect. I have been an avid follower of aeronautics. Now, you can read it up, but the Kwanda effect was discovered by Professor Kwanda of the Nuremberg School of Aeronautics way back in 1935, and he patented airplanes that are supposed to fly through the effect. Essentially, if you blow a sheet of gas, like air, past a curved surface, the point of contact of the stream of air to that surface creates a negative pressure by the Bernoulli effect. As a result, there is a lifting force created by that. Now, Professor Kwanda thought it would be useful to get an airplane to take off vertically. The problem was that if you blow it fast enough to create, in an attempt to create enough force, sometimes this boundary layer becomes turbulent and that sheet of air
goes away.
Becomes turbulent. It peels off. Now, so from about 1950 up until the time he died in 1980s, he had been trying to stabilize the Kwanda effect with various means so that he can actually fly. He has a patent, and I was looking at his patents, and I figured out, I said, instead of adding mechanism to it, I would blow two streams of air, and I would make one stream suck the upper stream to stabilize it, both from the same air compressed air generator. I asked for a patent, I got it. But it's very complicated, and so I never got it. But that's where I communicated with Bert Rutan, who is a sort of a neighbor of my brother-in-law, who lives on one end of that lake, that dry bed lake, where Bert Rutan scaled composite. In fact, they're friends. They are on first name basis.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that's
how I got to know about the X Prize, because Bert won it hands down, no contest.
Okay, great. So let's talk about your company and your financing and your business plan. Do you have money to build your car?
Well, now, that is the big question. I have been financing all of this myself. And so far we have, I have 12 patents.
Which costs a lot of money.
It costs some money, but look, if it does anything at all to save our environment, this Earth is all we got. We are now bumping against the limits of the atmosphere to absorb the carbon dioxide that human activity is doing on the surface of this Earth. Now, there will be a double, triple, quadruple amount of energy required for transportation alone when the Chinese, the Indians, the Brazilians, and the Russians, and the rest of the world rightly enjoy motor vehicles like lucky Americans and Europeans have been doing for the past 100 years. You cannot stop them, but there will be a shortage of fuel. But even if we were to find 5 more mega fields or umpteen more mega fields of fuel deposits, our limiting factor might not be whether there will be enough fuel. Our limiting factor is, will the atmosphere of this one Earth that we have forgive us for it? Yep. We are now bumping on that limit, and it's threatening global warming. We have to share the energy we're using with the rest of the people in this world without burning up more than we're doing right now, because we're hitting the ceiling. Yeah. And one of the things to do is to improve our fuel efficiency. You have to share this.
Yeah, 100 miles per gallon.
We ought to go 100 miles per gallon, so for every one of us driving, there can be 3 others. See, if we average 25 miles per gallon, and if we can now change everybody to 100 miles per gallon, there will be 3 other guys enjoying transportation aside from you. Now, we rich Americans and Europeans should be so generous.
So
let's go to fuel efficient.
So you are looking for money?
I'm looking for money, yes.
Okay.
I'm looking for
That's
money.
Great. So
I'm looking for allies.
Yeah.
And I have exclusive technology on this. In all its I have played with double engine technology, hybridized or not. And I have looked at the corral, and I have put in patent applications in all the possible doors. So I corral double engine technology within Belluso Motor Company.
That's great. So if an investor wants to contact you, where should they email you? What's your telephone number?
My telephone number is 410-341-6321, or my email, my cell phone is 410-713-2124, or they can email me at gmbeloso@comcast.net. That is gmbeloso.
Yeah, and Beloso is B-E-L-L-O-S-O.
Right. And then I have my fax. They can fax me. And 410-341-7082.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. And that was Greg Beloso of Beloso Motor Company. This is the XPRIZE Cars Podcast, Episode 8. If you've heard something that you liked and you'd like to learn more, please visit my website at xprizecars.com. Thanks for listening.